Chapter 21. The Development of Gnostic Consciousness. Imagine a person who has just approached the Gnostic mysteries for the first time in his life. He has just discovered that the development of Gnostic consciousness does not involve material, etheric, or astral elements in any way. He has found out that true vision can never be attained with the nature-born body composed of elements, but only with a quite different vehicle, formed not from the substance of death, but from the substance of the Sophia. Faced with this insight for the first time, it is quite likely that he will be filled with the greatest bewilderment. In many cases, as experience has taught us, denial follows and he turns away from the gnosis. Tat too feels this bewilderment and cries, "You have put me into a state of considerable confusion and conceptual bewilderment, Father, for now I no longer even see myself." And not long afterwards he says, "Now you have really made me speechless, Father, because now I no longer understand any of it. I still see you with the same body, with the same outward appearance. The ego is utterly dethroned before the eyes of the approaching nature-born human being." But in that state it is possible for him to discover that the personality composed of elements is nevertheless the basis on which and with the help of which resurrection is brought about. If there is to be a resurrection, there must also be a grave. One must have passed through that grave before resurrection can happen. Now we can understand those words engraved on the tomb of Christian Rosicross in the Fama Fraternitatis, R.C. "All this, while living, I have made into my tomb." The nature-born personality does not need to be seen as a useless, worthless vehicle that only gets in the way, to be cast aside like a dirty rag. On the contrary, the living soul makes use of it, has to make use of it as a tool. However, the tool must first be prepared in the right way, but the candidate should no longer expect of it or see in it more than there actually is. That is why Hermes says in verse 12, "That is why I no longer worry about the composite form that once was mine. I no longer have any color, nor a sense of feeling, nor dimension. All this is foreign to me." When Jesus the Lord arises from the grave, then it is a matter of hermetic logic that the grave will then be found empty. But the nature-born personality and the body of the Sophia remain together to the end. That is why, in the Gnostic Gospel of the Pistis Sophia, Jesus appears to his disciples as the living master who has not yet died, while at the same time there is a mighty threefold light garment surrounding him. Now just cast your mind back for a moment to the 13th book of Hermes. The monad or microcosm descended into the nadir of materiality until the time came when it was no longer possible for it to keep the light garment of the original personality. So the original personality had to be replaced by the emergency order personality, a personality adapted to the laws of life in the nadir. The emergency order personality and the life existing within it must come to experience the nadir as a boundary it may not cross because of the laws of dialectics. The natural result of this is the awakening of a yearning for liberation. It may take a long time or a shorter time, but this yearning must arise in the end because the monadic impulse drives us ever onward, ever upward, until eternity is reached. But the laws of the nadir always stand in the way, and that is why this increasing dynamic tension eventually gives rise to a new idea, the idea of climbing out of the nadir. People think, if I can't break through the boundary, perhaps I can transcend it and enter freedom that way. And they try to do so with the ego. So modern space travel stems from the ego's desire to transcend the nature of death, but the only result is the spreading of the essence of death throughout the whole of space. Eventually, the realization is born that as long as one uses the ego, one cannot transcend the boundary of the nadir. The emergency order body is simply not suited for that because it is a body composed of elements formed in the nadir of materialization. That is why the nature-born personality has to experience the reality of this. When this experience has sunk home deeply enough and you follow the path of the endurer, you can die while living so that when the right way of life is practiced, the original monadic light garment, the light garment of the Sophia, will come over you and descend into you, making resurrection in the present or in the near future into a reality. What then is true and real, you ask, echoing Hermetic philosophy? And the reply comes, it is that which is not defiled, my son, that which is unlimited, colorless, unchangeable, uncovered, formless, radiant, only to be fathomed by itself, the unalterable good, the incorporeal. This is the ninefold signature of the sparkling, original light garment of the monad, which is manifested once again by all who transcend with Jesus the Lord. So, driven by your urge to transcend the nature of death, you attune yourself to the one appropriate way of life so that through that way of life you can make it a reality. But if you want to do this, you need to be aware that this process necessitates the neutralization and purification of the nature-born system with its senses and activities. It must be cleansed of all the vices of the nature-born state so that the vehicle from which the ego has withdrawn can be made into a suitable tool. Imagine that, driven by soul power, you are in the process of climbing out of the nature of death. Imagine that the sparkling light garment is in the process of unfolding around you, and the first indications of this are evident in many brothers and sisters of the young Gnosis. And imagine that the light garment is increasing in strength and vitality. Then, with the aid of the living soul, you must purify the nature-born personality and make it fit to act as a tool in the service of the world and mankind. Amazed, Tat asks Hermes, "Do I have castigators within me, Father?" By castigators, Tat means vices, and many pupils would be just as painfully astonished if their vices were to be pointed out. Hermes replies that in addition to the impediments every nature-born animal has, the human being possesses 12 fundamental vices horrifying to behold. These are ignorance, grief, and sorrow, intemperance, desire, injustice, greed, deceit, envy, guile, anger, thoughtlessness, and malice. These fundamental vices are present in every human being born of matter. There is no exception. The worker in God's vineyard, sent out to labor in the nature of death, is daily reminded, take care in your contact with the inhabitants of the nature of death. Keep in mind the 12 fundamental vices. If one of them fades into the background, it is more than likely that the others will act with redoubled vigor. And that is how the inner man can be kept prisoner. If brothers and sisters in whom the soul has been resurrected do not use their soul power to neutralize their own vices. And if they do not, no further progress can be made. People often battle to control their vices. They observe these vices in themselves, or other people point them out, and then, full of good intentions, they often try to neutralize them with their ego. But that is never any use in a liberating sense. These fundamental vices can only be rooted out with living soul power. The period during which the influence of the soul is increasingly exerting itself, but the birth of the inner man from the substance of the Sophia has not yet taken place, is a critical one. That is why many pupils who already possess something of the inner new man are often obstructed in their progress by the presence of the 12 fundamental vices. One can never afford to forget them for a moment. However, if you understand the process of rebirth, if you can really see how the light garment of the Sophia develops, and only a complete acceptance will make this possible, albeit if you truly recognize the gnosis, the Sophia, then ignorance, the first vice, will be driven out. Hermes says that if you truly come to recognition, to insight from within, you will be purified. If you do not simply accept the truth of the gnosis on authority, but experience it from within, ignorance will recede from you. Through purification and a growing self-knowledge, ignorance is cast out and straight away. A great tremor of joy will pass through you, reverberating throughout your being. This joy casts out all sorrow. The second vice, it cannot be compared with any joy in the nature of death, any happiness arising from the interplay of opposites. It is a scintillating force from the life sphere of the living soul state. It confers on you an inner state that will never fade. Imagine that ignorance has been taken away from you in a fundamental way, and in your nature-born state of experience, it is as if veils have been removed. Ignorance has vanished, and, straight away, a glorious radiation descends into you from the light garment of the Sophia. If you possess it, bringing with it an inner joy that fills you utterly and passes all understanding. And behold, intemperance is driven out in the same way, for the flood of inner joy poured out over you continues flowing into you in a steady rhythm, feeding and sustaining you. And as a result, any tendency towards disequilibrium, which is what Hermes means by intemperance, disappears. If you are living in such a torrent of abundance, you will no longer want to keep on renewing your attachment to the nature of death. This renunciation of everything dialectical, this forbearance, will drive out the vice of desire. By desire, Hermes means chasing after earthly goals, at the constant pursuit of things on a horizontal level, things which are purely of the earth, earthly. So when you stand in the steadily flowing current of energy coming from the light, vesture surrounding you, the vice of desire will be driven out. If you regard life and action in the nature of death with an objective eye, because you possess and experience the inner man, then, as Hermes says, this will provide a foundation for justice. Then all unrighteousness will be banished without any trouble at all. The person with an enlightened soul lets his light shine over good and evil alike, over everyone and everything. Hermes calls this virtue magnanimity, which drives out the vice of greed. Hermes does not mean greed for money or goods or anything like that, but greed, miserliness with respect to your expressions of sympathy and the giving out of your love radiations. There are many people, also among pupils of the Gnostic spiritual school, who totally ignore each other. Sometimes they don't even see each other. They never look each other straight in the eye. They even look right through each other, as if the other person was not there. And it is even worse if people do this deliberately, as often happens. Suppose, as a soul-born person in possession of a light garment, you were to permit your nature-born body, intended to function as a tool in the service of the living soul, to maintain sympathies and antipathies. Surely you can see that this tool would then be unsuitable, spoiled in advance. The soul belongs to everyone and is in everyone. The soul makes no distinctions. Like the sun, it shines on good and bad alike. All that approval and disapproval, all those sympathies and antipathies people have, amount to nothing more than foolish, miserable unfairness and bias. And in Hermes' terms, this vice can be called the worst, the most shameful desire. If you free yourself from this vice by radiating your soul power to everyone, regardless of who they are, you will stand in the power of truth. Then truth will reveal itself, the truth that dispels all lies, all deceit. Lies and deceit in this sense are the attachments and sympathies the nature-born human being harbors out of habit, or because of the expectations of society, or these sympathies might be maintained for diplomatic or political reasons. The newspapers are full of this kind of thing. You should read and study it all until you are sick. And when you are, you will learn a lesson, perhaps a lesson you will need to learn 100 times over, but anyhow, it is good to begin. You will read how, in diplomatic meetings, peace talks, parliamentary debates and the like, the opposing parties scold and rail against each other, appearing, for the benefit of public opinion, to desire no contact whatsoever. And you can read how, 5 minutes later, relaxing in a private room over lunch, the two parties collaborate over how to organise this or that. Deceit and lies, not felt, not meant, just acted. Clearly, this deception has disastrous results, for it keeps the masses divided against each other, making them like fighting cocks, consuming each other with their hate and fear. The world thirsts and sighs for truth. Only if truth, in its absolute sense, enters the candidate, can the only good become perfect and complete in him. When truth finds admittance, the good, the life, and the light appear. All jealousy and any other vices must then depart. And finally, the moment comes when out of the dark, dialectical, nature-born body, no further vice emerges. All vices are banished, overcome by the storm of the Soma Psychikon. As soon as the 10 virtues have entered, the 12 vices are vanquished. Only in this way can the process of rebirth from the Sophia be brought to completion. Many of you possess much splendid and glorious soul quality, and with it, you should root all those vices out of your personality with great determination like a storm. Then you will make your body, your personality, suitable for use as a tool in the service of God and mankind. Then there will no longer be anything to prevent you from rising right out of the nadir of materiality, and resurrection will become a fact. We hope and pray that you will soon complete this labor of purification.